Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Mel Herbert here for your March 6th edition of Elon Daily. Now, I've got to tell you this right now. This evening, I'm flying to Australia. Yes, that place that is down and under and full of Australians. I'm going down there to do some work, to do some visiting, and also I'm going to try to do some Elon Dailying from down in said south. But if I miss a day or two, or if the timing gets a little wonky, you'll know why, because the time difference is all over the place. As far as I can tell, it's a different planet. And it is, unfortunately, a very busy time in Elon's world that I would like to be around for, but these things do occur. So March 11th is the date that Elon has to explain why they shouldn't smack him upside the head for his tweet about the fact that there were going to be 500,000 S's, X's, and 3's produced in 2019. And then his quick follow-up tweet, no, I meant we'll get up to a run rate that could mean we could do 500,000 by the end of the year. And so they're going to ask the question, why shouldn't we smack you around? Because we told you not to tweet because your tweets changed the stock price. Now, of course, it has been noted by a number of people that it's actually the SEC that when they do things like this, manipulate the stock price far more than even Elon does. So when the SEC says we potentially could censure Elon, boom, the stock crashes or goes up way more than Elon. But that is a whole other story. I just wish Elon would be quiet. Then we know tonight, yes, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this evening at 8 o'clock Pacific time here on the West Coast in the Los Estados Unidos, we're going to hear about version 3 of Supercharger. And I'll try and get an Elon Daily out to talk about that tomorrow. And then on March 14th, of course, is Model Y reveal. So we've got a couple of weeks here that are busy, that are amazing, that are interesting, that are important. So stay tuned. Now, Tesla in the last few days has also been doing a couple of other things. So they dropped the price of the S and the X. And in places like Taiwan, for example, those price drops were huge, like up to like $25,000, $30,000. And people have been losing their minds. One gentleman in particular who was out protesting said, look, I bought this car like 2 weeks ago. Now it's $30,000 less. Are you kidding me? And really, it seems that Tesla needs to get their act together. Dramatic price reductions like that, you know, you'd think would be welcomed with open arms. But of course they're not, because people are buying these all the time. And if you don't get that dramatic price reduction, you're going to be ticked. Okay, it's one thing that 6 months ago you bought your Tesla and now it's gone down by $5,000 or something like that. But if a couple of weeks ago you bought one and it's down by $25,000, $30,000, of course you're going to lose it. So we need to have more gentle changes of the pricing, Tesla. And it's a little hard to believe that closing all of their showrooms, or almost all of their showrooms, is really going to result in such dramatic cost reductions that you can drop the price of the car by $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000. So they obviously knew that they were going to do this before then, so as some people have noted online, this is sort of a rookie mistake, and hopefully they've learned from that. The other thing that they're doing that's confusing the heck out of people is changing the pricing of autopilot and full autonomous driving. So they got rid of the nomenclature full autonomy, they got rid of that, and they just did enhanced autopilot. And I thought that was a great idea. It made it a lot simpler. Like, when does full autonomy begin and advanced autopilot stop, kind of thing? And so just get rid of it and just sell one version. Well, they're back to selling two versions again. And they've dropped the price for those that want to buy it after the fact. And it's just really confusing. And I don't even want to summarize it because it's probably going to change. But allow me to use my special voice and tell you what they said. Here it goes. Upgrading to autopilot and full self-driving capability, and this is from the Tesla website. All customers that bought a Tesla before yesterday's price decrease will be able to buy the autopilot or full self-driving capability for half of what those features would normally cost after initial purchase. Autopilot, which enables automatic steering, accelerating and braking, normally costs $4,000 after delivery, and full self-driving normally costs $7,000 after delivery. Full self-driving capability includes navigate on autopilot, advanced summon, auto lane change, auto park, and later this year will recognize and respond to traffic lights. Any customer who bought a Tesla prior to this week's price adjustment will be able to upgrade to autopilot for $2,000 or self-driving capability for an additional $3,000. Those who previously purchased enhanced autopilot and want an upgrade to full self-driving will only pay $2,000. In other words, for a customer who previously hadn't purchased autopilot plus full self-driving, they will soon be able to do so for $6,000 less than before. Customers who previously purchased Full Self-Driving will receive an invitation to Tesla's Early Access Program, EAP. EAP members are invited to experience and provide feedback on new features and functionality before they are rolled out to other customers. Beginning next month, any existing customer who wants to upgrade to autopilot or full self-driving capability will be able to do so with a one-click payment. There will be no need to call anybody, and it will be as easy as it was to order your car in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I think what all that means is that you can get these autonomous driving features for less than you did before. It's so confusing to me. Go read it. And one wonders when the class action lawsuits are going to occur because, you know, I had to pay more than that and people are going to lose their mind. In fact, I got a check from Tesla because of a class action lawsuit with regards to full self-driving with the Model S that I had back in the day, and it never really developed the full driving capability by the time it was about to be handed in. But I got some good news. You know, there's this thing called the planet, called the world, called Earth. It's a home spaceship, Earth, some people have called it. It's a self-contained system flying through the universe at hundreds of thousands of miles an hour. And there is no way to siphon off the CO2 or to get more stuff on there yet until we start going out to asteroids and bring in some metals or whatever. And it's a problem because, you know, there's too much CO2 in the air and it's dramatically changing the climate. Well, there's a recent report out, and I got this from Robert Rosenblum from Talking Tesla. Thank you, Robert, as always. That one way to sequester a whole bunch of the CO2 that we've dug up from the ground and spewed into the air is to plant trees. And a lot of people are doing this, but just how many trees do we need? Well, according to this report, and this is by ecologist Thomas Crowther and colleagues at ETH Zurich, a Swiss university, they say we need to plant approximately 1.2 trillion trees to suck up all the carbon that we've spewed out in the last decade. I'm no math genius, but 1.2 trillion trees seems like a lot of trees. It turns out there are 3 trillion trees, say that fast, on Earth, 7 times more than they previously have estimated. I guess they did some satellite imaging and they think that there's 3 trillion trees. We need 1.2 trillion more to sequester all of the stuff that we've thrown up there. And people are already actually working on this. The United Nations Trillion Tree Campaign has planted nearly 15 billion trees across the globe. And Australia has announced a plan to plant approximately a billion by 2050. And I can't remember the gentleman's name, but there was a TED talk of this guy that basically reforestates, makes forests again, plants trees. And when you do that, you change the micro ecosystem and you bring in clouds and you bring in rainfall. And so all of this deforestation that we've done to grow, you know, meat, cows, sheep, which is very bad, and that's why we all should try and eat less and less and less, has been very, very bad. And then we've taken all of this stuff from the soil, under the ground, the oils and the gases, and we burn that CO2. So we've given the whole planet the double whammy. This is a great way to try and reverse that. So I think when we see more of these studies, we're going to see more of these efforts by individual countries, states, and even the United Nations to plant a veritable ton of trees. How many tons? Well, there's 400 gigatons of stored CO2 in the 3 trillion trees we have right now. Let's plant a couple of trillion more and stop burning fossil fuels as fast as we can. And lastly for the day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's go to electric! Fred Lambert and the kids over electric. Who wrote this article? Yeah, it was Fred. Of course it was Fred. Fred writes so many articles for electric. It's amazing. Anyway, Sono Motors has this thing called the Scion. It's a boxy little car here in the United States. And they've been playing with the integration of solar panels into the roof and sides and all over the thing. And today they're apparently unveiling, or maybe it was yesterday, unveiling a sort of a longer version with integrated solar panels that hide them a little bit better. And they say can get up to 30 kilometers. That's about 20 miles of range a day parking this puppy out in the sun. The company says it was aiming for a range of about 155 miles or about 250 kilometers and a 35 kilowatt hour battery pack. So one of those cars that's really great for around town, as it were. And I really love this idea. And although Tesla has sort of walked away from doing this, I wonder with improvements in solar panels whether this would be a great idea. Here's an example where it would be really cool. If I got 20 miles a day, for a lot of people, that would be great. That would be almost all they need just by parking their car out in the sun. But also, let's say you're going off for your big trip. You're going off to, I don't know, somewhere exotic, like Hawaii for 2 weeks. And you park your car in the parking lot, and through vampire sort of drainage over time, your range goes down and down and down. If you're not lucky enough to be able to plug it in before you leave, that could be a problem, right? Well, in this circumstance, you just sort of park it out there and you have the air conditioner come on when if it gets too hot and you put a couple of shade panels inside the car, but your car basically is charging the entire time. So I love this idea. So the question obviously comes down to, you know, the cost effectiveness of said solar panel integration. So we'll follow this as it goes. We'll see how this works. This is early days, but oh, it could be cool. And then maybe Tesla and others will follow along. 20 miles a day is a lot, just saying. But it does have a big flat kind of roof, so it's kind of perfect, this car. So that's it. Let's call it done. We will speak in the morrow. And remember, we might be a little bit all over the place the next sort of week or two. Okay? Forgive me. I'll get back on the horse as soon as I return.